Welcome to Thinking Out Loud, the podcast that puts you inside conversations with today's industry game changers. During a recent event, Vicky Linz, President and CEO of CTAM, sat down with Chris LaPlaca, SVP of Corporate Communications at ESPN and winner of CTAM's first Beacon Award for Communications Excellence. So sit back and stay tuned. They may just change the way you think.
So I am sitting down today with Chris LaPlaca. We're trying something new in our Thinking Out Loud podcast series, and we're actually recording this conversation, and it's going to become an episode of our series. It's the first and only episode recorded in front of a live audience. So we figured the communications guy could handle that.
We'll find out. It could set the podcasting business back several decades.
Chris, I'm going to start with just a little bit about you, and then I'm going to ask you to talk to us. You are a 38-year veteran of ESPN, and I think you just told me that except for 9 months, you've spent your entire career there. So I do want to talk to you about that, but I also want to put a little context around your job responsibilities for everyone. Chris oversees all public and media relations, including efforts for domestic services such as ESPN and all of its associated networks, as well as ESPN.com, ESPN the magazine, ESPN Radio, and all of their other brand extensions. He has received numerous honors and recognition throughout the industry, including the Corporate PR Professional of the Year Award from PR News, which is one of the industry's highest honors that you can receive. In 2015, he was inducted into the PR News Hall of Fame. And his team has many additional accolades, including PR Week's Team of the Year and Cablefax Magazine's Team of the Year. Also honored outside your professional life, you were awarded the Fred Soliana Award for your overall contributions to Bristol's Caring About People program, which is a program that provides mentors to at-risk children in need of positive role models. So your leadership is felt far and wide. I love the fact that that list talks about you, your team, and your community.
So do I.
I think that's really impressive and inspirational for all of us.
Mostly the team.
So let's go back to 38 years at ESPN. Mm-hmm. We're going to do a 15-minute session today, so there's certainly not enough time for us to go skipping through all 38 years. But talk to us a little bit about how you stayed in one place for that long and the dramatic change and evolution you've experienced over the course of that tenure.
Well, actually, it's been a long time. It's gone by really fast. You guys know the industry. We work in, all you men and women here. So it's been fun. I think that I've seen a lot of change over the years, and I tell people, I speak at colleges a lot. I've been in the same place for 38 years, but I've never worked for the same company from 1 year to the next. So I've had the same address, but the company I work for, I think, has changed quite a bit because we've continued to evolve, and I have as well. Sometimes not as rapidly, in all honesty, as the company evolved. And I had great people who told me to snap out of it and, hey, we're going over here now. You better get there if you want to hang out with us. And so I've had to go through some evolution of my own. I have a great team. Katina's here. Sue, congratulations. You know, I'm surrounded by a lot of really smart people, and that's intoxicating. And look, we've all get calls. I've had chances to go other places over the years, and they finally stopped calling me because every time I was thinking about another opportunity, I didn't find anything better than what I had, or I thought we were going, and I was never proven wrong. So, and the industry's changed quite a bit, but it's still fun. Like, this is a great group of people. We had a nice dinner last night. Jim's the man, I love that guy. And he didn't say everything I told him to say about me, though. I'm a little upset at the moment.
But it's so important to keep communications people on script.
Well, they have their own ideas, these people, I don't know. And so, listen, I'm a big believer in having fun. And this industry and ESPN has been a lot of fun for 38 years. Not every day, but enough.
So the tools of your trade have changed dramatically since you first started. Talk to us a little bit about the evolution of the communications function, the advent of new technologies, social media. It's changed everything so dramatically. What does that look like in your world?
Well, I go back, I'll tell you a story. So I'm at ESPN maybe a year and a half. we're doing the Baseball Hall of Fame induction ceremonies, and Bowie Kuhn was the baseball commissioner at the time, and he was on a media blackout. He wasn't talking to the press. He was mad. I don't know what he was mad about, but our guy gets an interview with Bowie Kuhn. Now, does that guy call me on my cell phone or text me? No, there were no such things as cell phones. And we've actually physically found one another in Cooperstown, New York, and I transcribed the interview, and now I have to, there's no laptop. They don't haven't been invented. I'm old, and so they haven't invented that yet either. So I ran down Main Street in Cooperstown, New York, and I find a J.J. Newberry five and dime store, and I burst in. I said, ma'am, do you have a typewriter? She goes, well, yeah. And I said, do you have a copy machine? She said, no. I said, how about carbon paper? Technology, right? So, you know, I made two copies. I ran. I found a guy from AP and a guy from UPI. The next day, headlines all across the country, ESPN gets Bowie Kuhn to speak. Everybody said, yay, what's ESPN? No one knew. So that was an early brand building thing for us, and the tools are very rudimentary, weren't they? It was a typewriter and my feet, basically. And so now we have information at our fingertips. We had a great presentation earlier with the speakers and the house and all the things you can do. It's like it's snap your fingers, you have everything you need. And the speed of that has changed the game completely. And it's also made us, when our company said, all right, everyone's going to get cell phones now, I said, sign me up for last, because I knew where it was going. I was always going to be connected. And I wasn't so sure I was interested in that. And now we are always connected. And so work-life balance becomes an issue. And the speed at which you need to respond and the vigilance you need to bring to what's happening at any given moment. Jim mentioned earlier, we all work hard during the day, then everyone goes home. Our jobs actually get harder then, because now that's when the games are on and that's when things can happen and that's when someone says or does something that becomes newsworthy, good or bad, right? And we have to be connected to that. So the constant tethering to the business and the speed at which things move has been a game changer. And I think, though, I like new and different, I like challenges, and it's been fun. Some of you remember, if you're of a certain age, there was a campaign about driving too fast. Speed kills, and speed can kill, you know, it figuratively, the way information travels. And if you want to manage a brand, which is what we're all here to do, that speed is, I think, maybe the biggest game changer. Social media is another one and whatnot, but.
So you said somebody tweets good or bad, you have to respond to it. I vaguely recall something from the President of the United States about ESPN talent, but two things there. Mm-hmm. What's it like to live through that? And talk about ESPN's culture and philosophy now around the politicization of sports because of the times that we're living in.
Well, when that happened, the very first thing I thought of actually was insurance might be a good second career. Everyone needs it. No one really has a problem with it. Planning for the future, that's a good thing. Everyone can get behind that. I thought maybe then 10 seconds later, I realized I better get back to work. So.
I mean, nobody really wakes up in the morning thinking they're going to have to respond to the president.
No.
So you don't have a framework in place.
Well, no, actually, no one does. But it had crept into the back of our minds because sports and politics had become so intertwined. And it was our job to cover it. And we did. But this particular circumstance happened. One of our commentators tweeted on social media. And it lit. And it went fast. And so, listen, we could spend an hour on all the different elements of that circumstance, and we have other things to get to, I'm sure. But we did the same thing in that case like we do in every case, which is the first thing you decide is, do we need to engage on this? And sometimes speed can be your friend. Maybe it'll flash and it'll go away just as fast. So you don't want to make too quick a decision. But once you decide if you're going to engage or not, and the answer, let's say the answer is yes. Now you figure out what is it we're going to say. You have to process information really fast, really fast. You have so many different constituencies that you're trying to message to, and they're not always aligned. And so you have to think about how's that going to land. And it's a two-step process, speed and what's right. We always go, what's right should drive, right? You go too fast, do something that's not right, you make it worse. In that particular case, we didn't act right away. We let it simmer. And it didn't go away right away. we just managed through it, and we made sure our internal audience, our employees, understood what we were doing and why, and the thought process behind it. The other thing I would say is, and I'm really proud of this about our company, and we're not alone, but we do not manage via headlines, right? You know, we manage our brand, our company, our reaction in moments like that based upon our set of corporate values and what we think is the right thing to do. Jim said it earlier, we're lucky. We've worked very hard over 38 years to be a market leader in our segment. And that comes with tremendous scrutiny. I joke all the time, we sneeze, it's news. And I'd rather be us than the other guys, candidly. I don't mind that. We've worked really hard to get to that plateau. And so we become very used to difficult headlines. There's no such thing as Valentine's anymore, really. That's okay. Again, we've worked hard to get there. These are the spoils that come with that. And so, in that particular case and in every other case, we make the decision that we think is best for us in that given moment, regardless of how it might land. You know, and I'm happy about that.
There's an interesting thread throughout what you just discussed, and I'm going to highlight two different points. One is the role of communications being central to the business, supporting business strategies, building and or protecting brand and culture, mm-hmm. facilitating opportunities. Too often, I think we believe that the communicators are there to react and respond in the moment to whatever problem may be coming at us, when in reality, it's a business building strategic mm-hmm. driving function in the company. So I'd love for you to speak to that. And the other then is related, which is about brand. And to the degree that brand is important to ESPN and the communications and marketing synergies in building, driving, and protecting those brands.
Right.
I think that would be really interesting for you to talk to us about.
So Vicki, I'm not that smart. I don't remember the first question you asked. I'm going to take the second one. You'll remind me. I'm going to take the second one
first. I will, because
first.
I actually would like you to go in order. One is the right. central role of communications
okay.
to supporting business strategies and building company culture right. and brand, so internal, external. And then the second is dive into brand with us.
Okay, great. Happy to do that. So, yes, we're very lucky, I think, at ESPN. I think what makes us a little bit different than many other companies in terms of the communications function is we have a vibrant media arm. SportsCenter, all the different news and information shows we do. And so we understand intimately how the media works, how the press works, good stories, bad stories, fair stories, stories that lack context. We know all of that because we live it every day. And it's in our house. It's like the next building over. And so we intersect with it. And all the executives that we work with understand it intimately. So I don't have to go in and explain to anybody, well, here's how this works, because we do it every day. And that gives us a huge advantage, and I think it's very lucky for us in that regard. And I have to say, there have been many times in my career where someone says, do we really have to engage? And I will say yes, and I get to use this example. Can you imagine if we're going to go do a story on the Green Bay Packers? Brett Favre back in the day when I first used that example, but Aaron Rodgers refuses to speak with us. Do you really, you're our Aaron Rodgers. You need to come to the phone or to the microphone or whatever. And people say, okay, I get it. Because can you imagine a sports center where it's just a bunch of people like me talking? No one would watch the show. So we get the media business now. It works. And our executives intimately understand that how you handle yourself in the context of planning for things that you know are about to happen or in the moment, completely unexpected, is important in terms of how you manage the brand. Because when you think about what the brand is, it's what people think or feel when they hear your name, right? And what do you want? You want people feel good about that. And marketing is a huge brand builder. But I think there's a growing recognition in our place that communications is, we're all brand managers, right? Because if you define, again, what brand is by how someone, the emotions that are evoked when you hear a name, well, what you read on a blog or on social media or in a newspaper, what you see on television or the radio, those are all things that's in the news that help evoke emotions as well. And so we should be aligned. And we now have a new president in Jimmy Pitero who truly believes in alignment. And we have a new head of marketing, Laura Gentile, who's fabulous. I'm looking forward to all of you getting to meet her. And she and I and our teams have already had many conversations about how we should align a little bit more intimately so that we can each support where the company is going in our own way. I believe the disciplines are very much very, very similar. You know, you're trying to communicate in ways that influence certain segments of our audience to act or feel in a certain way. Now, the mechanics are many times different, but the agenda is often the same. So how can we work better together to make that happen? And we're about to embark upon a little bit more alignment in that department now.
You're probably listening to this podcast because you're a smart, busy executive who wants to keep up with the latest news and trends efficiently. And you're probably also a CTAM Smart Brief subscriber. Did you say no? Then you're missing out on the finest industry news briefing, deftly delivered daily to your inbox. Like I said, it's smart, it's brief, it's always free, and read by thousands of leaders like you. Sign up today at smartbrief.com/CTAM.
Jimmy's a big believer in brand. Mm-hmm. You've mentioned Laura's new role. What does the immediate future of ESPN's brand evolution look like? What's on your radar screen right now that you're trying to bubble up, push out, refresh?
Well, the brand is real strong, but I think we're engaged in a conversation about where could we strengthen it, how do we expand it. We've told the world, actually, we've got four business priorities going forward, and one of them is audience expansion. And that can mean a lot of different things, and it's maybe different sports. Someone mentioned esports earlier, I think, in a conversation I was having earlier. What's going to happen with sports betting? We have an opportunity to bring maybe more people under the tent there. How are we going to reach those people? Marketing, communications can work together to do that. And it's just really taking a closer look. You have to nurture your brand every day. And I think Jimmy's brought a renewed focus in doing that, and we're about ready to get started.
Not to look too far back, but you went through a leadership change. Jimmy is new. You were front and center of managing through that change because it reflected on ESPN's brand, it reflected on the culture. Talk to us a little bit about what you learned from that experience and what you think really worked well in managing it.
Well, you know, it's the role we have, and the communicators in the room understand that. You're often privy to things before they break. And so I found out on a Sunday afternoon that Monday we were going to announce that our leader was going to be leaving the company, and that was, I was hanging out at home with my family on a Sunday afternoon, and now I'm at work. So, you know, some of the things I talked about earlier I think were brought to play here, which is you have to, sometimes the most important thing you can do is take 10 deep breaths and realize that the world is not going to end. You're going to be fine. You know, one foot in front of the other. Don't try to go too far, too fast. Take it sequentially. You have to plan for any scenario, and we did, in many, many conversations. And the really key thing, too, is if you believe that every employee is a brand manager, you have to communicate as efficiently and effectively internally as you do externally. And we baked the whole plan, what we're going to do internally, what time we're going to have the meetings, what's going to happen externally. And it all has to be the same message. And it needs to be authentic and true. And it was. And it was a seismic kind of, are you kidding me, to, wow, what happened? A lot of inspection as to what was behind it. And then it was just boots on the ground and playing defense and as much offense as you can in terms of trying to frame it. And it lasted for a while because the uncertainty of who's the next leader then becomes the next story. And I think what we learned is to be calm and reasoned. I'm Sicilian. Calm's not in my vocabulary. But I've learned it. I'm also not a very patient person. I wasn't born with it, but every day I have to relearn that trait. And we brought that sensibility. And listen, there's such a thing as body language and tone. We all, as leaders in the company, walked around. We all had a meeting. We said, look, we got to own this. We need to show our employees that we're confident about where we're going. We had a pretty good plan baked, and we were going to continue to follow it until we had a new leader, and George Bodenheimer came in, and George was great to help us, you know, through all of that. And so I guess what we learned is don't overreact, be cool, you know, assess, communicate against the set of principles that you already have, and just go forward. And one day leads to another, and time heals. And 9 months later, we're in a different place, and we're doing really well.
You talked about authenticity, and you talked about every employee being a brand manager. How is ESPN finding its brand voice in this new crazy competitive landscape? You've referenced how you're lucky. There's a lot of equity in the brand, but it needs to adjust to compete Mm-hmm. And so what does that look like?
Well, it's a broad question. There's a lot of different answers to that. I'd go back to what are the key core business pillars that we've decided upon, and that's audience expansion. I think our brand means different things to different people in different demographics. We really need to understand that a little bit better, and we've well begun that process. What people don't recognize is when you see things or criticisms or things that are more celebratory, we've studied that and understood that 6 months ago. We're very, very, very aggressive in understanding what the brand means to different people at any moment in time. So we're going to ramp up those kinds of things, but want to connect it to driving the business, right? And so where we want to take the business is, and again, audience expansion, innovation, storytelling. What does that mean to different people? And so we're going to go to work and really understand what that means. So that's where we are at the moment. We're lucky. It is better to innovate and maybe turn or pivot a little bit, not when you have to because of circumstances, but when it's smart to. And I think there's a little bit of we have to because the world is changing and it's going really quickly. But it's mostly, I think, because it's smart to, understanding the changes that are going on around us and how we intersect with that. And I have to say, I think we're also very lucky. Sue, I think maybe would agree with me that the genre that we're in, sports, is really a differentiator for us. I say this all the time. I think, you know, it's, you know, if I tell you the story, I think it's true. Like, movies, fabulous. Television, like, there's so much content out there. I think sports is a little bit different, maybe arguably the most powerful. And here's what I mean. Your team wins the World Series as my team did, the Red Sox. Like, I didn't run out in the street and celebrate it like cars on fire, but some people did. You know, when you leave a great movie, you're not doing that. You're going to have a drink with your wife or whatever. You know, so, but I'm not here to say movies are, our Disney's movie division is killer. It's awesome. So they're all strong in their own way, but I think sports just grabs people in different ways, and you have to watch it live. You can't find out the next day. I tried once. I was at a wedding in Colorado, and the women's soccer team, national team, was playing in the final, and I wanted to watch the game. My kids both play soccer. And I get off the plane, and I'm trying to walk through the airport to get our bags. And I walk by a bar, and someone goes, "Hey, it's an overtime. You can't escape." And now I'm stuck. I'm watching. Then I watch it on my app, actually, on my phone on the way home, the overtime. And so having to watch something live is a huge differentiator for us. You know, you can't time shift the Super Bowl. It's just impossible.
I wish we could time shift this conversation because I knew that we would run out of time before we ran out of topics. Communicators are great storytellers. So I'm going to ask you to tell us a story, any story that comes to mind, about something you experienced at ESPN, something you think reflects the heart and soul of ESPN, something you think is going to bestow unbelievable wisdom on us.
I got one. It goes back to something you said earlier about new tools. So social media became a thing, and everyone was tweeting, and we were breaking news on Twitter, and hey, we have our own platforms, but we want you to be present in social media, so what should we do? So we came up with a set of 10 principles that would just be common sense principles, and we distributed them internally to all of our talent. This was a whole bunch of years ago. And one guy, that was a guy, he got to number 3 and didn't read all of them and sent out a tweet that said, "Well, I guess I can't tweet anymore. ESPN just sent out these 10 principles, so it's been nice knowing you." Well, oh my God, this was like the end of the day. I'm driving home. I get home. I had a toddler, a little girl, my little girl Grace, who just turned 12 a couple of days ago. And I get a phone call from the New York Times. This guy says, "Listen, you guys are this progressive company. What do you mean you're not letting your people tweet?" I said, "What are you talking about? That's nonsense." He goes, "No, look what so-and-so just tweeted." So at that exact moment, Gracie comes up, "Daddy, I got to go number 2. So I got 2 potential messes on my hands. Which one do you think I took care of first?
Gracie.
Bingo, you're a mom.
I'm a mom.
I said, "Richard, I gotta go. I'll call you right back." Long story short, what we ended up doing was, it was transparent. Transparency is really critical. We tweeted the policy. And me and my team, we all did it. We didn't send out a statement. We just tweeted the policy. And we said, "Look at these 10 things. Where does it say you can't tweet?" we had to go against our guy a little bit, but there was transparency in that. If a suit can tweet, so can you, right? And the thing went, bingo, it was over, you know, but that's, so I think that story covers a lot of ground. It covers the speed we talked about. It covers how we adopt new tools. There was certainly some branding in that because we didn't look progressive in that moment. And within about a half an hour, by the way, I wanted to get approval to do that, and the executive was not available. He just was not answering his cell phone, so I just told my team, let's go. We did it. You know, sometimes you have to ask for forgiveness rather than permission, but that one worked. So
that's a great way to wrap up. Sometimes you have to ask for forgiveness instead of permission.
Well, if you decide you're going to engage and speed is critical, that's what we did.
Thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you.
And congratulations on your meeting.
No, thank you very much. Thank you.
Hope you found this Thinking Out Loud conversation interesting and perhaps even thought-provoking. There are more on the way. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and leave a review.